want to call your attention to some scripture tonight. So I begin this just little report of where the Lord has brought us to this point. In Psalm 119, at verse 49, psalmist here prays unto the Lord, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Whore hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." And it is the first verse of this section that I would draw to your attention, a verse that I have often thought of as I consider the ministry that the Lord has placed me in here. It's hard to believe, but this is now in the process of the sixth year that I've been a part of this particular ministry. The time has gone very, very quickly. I still have in my Palm Pilot the various texts that the Lord used in my life to bring me to this ministry. And very often over these last years, I have referred to those verses. And I have them in chronological order from September the 8th, 1999, when the Lord spoke so very clearly and directly to me that this is the course that I ought to take. And then from that time on, all of the particular fears, all the questions, all the doubts that I had as I wrestled in my own heart concerning that decision. And I referred to those over and again. Many of you heard the testimony that I gave those 6 years ago when I reviewed some of those texts the Lord used, but in every way answering the fears and the concerns that I had. And it is in that connection that this text comes to mind here, that I've often prayed that the Lord would indeed remember the word upon which he has caused me to hope. And Dr. Cairns has asked me to give a report to you concerning where we are in the seminary at this time, in this particular relationship. We've asked you to pray for this now for 2 years, and I am very quick to acknowledge my gratefulness to this congregation, to the session, to the committee of this church, for the special attention and the special interest and concern that they've had for the seminary. This is the work of the presbytery without question. But while that is true, this church in a most intimate way from the very beginning when it was at Theological Hall back in the early 80s, this church has been at the ground level. And from the very beginning has expressed and demonstrated interest, concern, prayers, as well as the financial support in keeping the operation going. So I appreciate that more than I could possibly say. And it is because of the fact that we have asked for prayer concerning this particular stage of the seminary's development that Dr. Cairns, I say, has asked me to give this report this evening, and I'm happy to do that. And it's in that connection that I have prayed that the Lord would remember the word upon which he has caused me to hope, that I would now call your attention to the text that the Lord impressed upon me on November the 24th, 1999, in Proverbs chapter 16. In Proverbs chapter 16, one of those moments in 99 when I was again wrestling with the whole issue and the whole fear of what to do. My life up to that point had been nothing but staying in a little cubbyhole in the classroom and doing my business. And now to be doing things on a small scale, certainly, but nonetheless things that were not within my comfort zone and not within my field of experience. A fear that I often had. And in praying about that on this particular day, this is the text that the Lord brought to me as this was my reading. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If I could give you the more literal rendering of that, which I was looking at that particular day, would translate it in this fashion. To roll over to the Lord your works. Roll over to the Lord your works in order that, for this purpose, that your plans may succeed. That your plans may succeed. And back then, that was certainly a great encouragement to me. And it is one that, in some ways, at least in part, the Lord has fulfilled in connection with what we are addressing this evening. Let me give you a little background of why we have even made any attempt or approach to any kind of an association with other seminaries for this kind of accountability. Back before anyone else knew what I was doing, I had many conversations with Dr. Cairns concerning what my burden was, bringing me here, and what his thoughts were. And I recall sitting in his living room back in the old place one day, I'm talking about what we envisioned for this ministry, the seminary, in the days to come. And he was talking about he wanted to see this seminary accredited. Well, as he said it, I said to myself, I don't think this man has a clue as to what accreditation is or what it's all about. And I'm telling you right now, there's not a ghost of a chance that we here are going to be accredited for various reasons. And those that know anything about it know what those reasons are. And while that was a prospect that he had addressed even before I came, it is something that I dismissed from my mind and my plan, because I knew it was just virtually an impossibility. But that's in the background. The immediate need for this really came in 9/11. As long as we were strictly a denominational institution, and from the very beginning of the ministry here in 81, 82, whenever the Theological Hall started, it was functioning uniquely as a ministry for the Free Presbyterian Church. A mission work. These men were being called by God into pioneer ministries, and they were coming here for their training to go out and pioneer Free Presbyterian ministries. And any kind of accountability academically outside of the responsibility to the presbytery was just non-essential. No need for it. The place existed for one purpose and one purpose only. And it still exists principally for that purpose, as you know. And when I came on the first year that I was here, that was still the scope of the ministry, limited just to those who God was calling into the Free Presbyterian ministry. First year I was here, the presbytery, the commission of presbytery at that time, took the decision to open up the seminary to students outside the denomination. keeping the focus that this is a denominational institution, that that remains and will forever remain our principal reason for existing, to train prospective ministers for the Free Presbyterian ministry. But realizing that there were men that, though not called to the Free Church, were nonetheless Reformed, were separatists, were fundamentalist, and that we perhaps could minister and help those men as well. So that decision was taken. At that time, I began in my own thinking, realize that it may be somehow important to establish some kind of an accreditability outside of our own selves for these men, but still, no real pressing and urgent need. And then 9/11 occurred. And with 9/11, the whole ballgame changed as far as our ability to take foreign students. That had been one of the, if you will, fleece that I had used to determine whether or not I should come to this ministry. You recall back when Dr. Allison was still here and the efforts that he made to get the INS approval to begin taking our Canadian students so we could consolidate those ministries together, and then the possibility of others as well, but principally for our Canadian students. And lo and behold, thanks to the labors of Mark and the strings that we were able to pull from, even I think Strom Thurmond's office got involved in that, we got the INS approval. And that amazed me. I must say, when I learned that, I was amazed and said to myself, here we go. But that happened, and everything was going smoothly. So we have our INS approval in place, but then I say 9/11, all of a sudden, everything must be looked at from scratch. Every institution, theoretically, had to begin the process of approval all over again. And we lost. After 9/11, we lost our INS status. We didn't have any foreign students at that time. But things were looking very, very dim. All kinds of things, questionnaires, whatever, to fill out, interviews and conversations with I don't know who I talked to, and very seldom, I don't think ever in the whole process that I talked to the same person twice, and that aided and caused some of the difficulty. But the bottom line was, we had to prove that we were a bona fide institution. There was one question. Are you accredited? If I were able to answer that question yes, then that was it. The process goes through and no more difficulties. We found the same thing later on when we dealt with the Veterans Administration, and Mr. Brame was so involved in all of the legwork there. Had we been able to answer one question, are you accredited? Then that would have been solved from the very beginning. But we weren't. We weren't. And so the efforts then to prove to these people that we were a real institution, that we were training ministers, that we were here doing the business that we were claiming to do. One of the issues, one of the ways that we had to prove this, some of the evidence, was to get other institutions that were accredited to give us what we call a wash letter, that they would accept our credits, all right, that they would accept our credits by transfer and so forth. So I started to ask some favors of various institutions that I was familiar with and that I know elsewhere. And they were very willing to give us various letters. A friend who's the president of a seminary in Minnesota, when we were going through this, they were in the process, and they still are in the process, of accreditation with TRACS, which is the organization now that Bob Jones University is seeking accreditation with. This is before to my knowledge anyway, B.J. started their pursuit. And he said, you ought to look at tracks. Look into tracks. And he had all the tracks documents with him. And so I took them and read them in the motel room the evening that I was there. And yeah, this would be great. Got on their mailing list. We've got a file over there for tracks stuff. But it became very clear, while in many ways, as far as our philosophy, as far as, you know, this is work, but in other ways, our size made it impossible financially. All right. The bottom line is that financially at this point, there is no way in the world that we could pursue that. We just don't have the resources. Not only in terms of the annual dues and initiation things, but just to have, I guess I could abscond, Gene, you could have been our official librarian, right? Had to have a librarian with a master's degree in library science on staff and whatever. But obviously, you know, when I'm having I need other things before I need a librarian, sorry. But we could have used you, I suppose, and at least could have got Karen to tell one of his lies about that. And whatever. But because of certain requirements like that, it was obviously impossible for us to pursue tracks at this time. Well, one of the WASH letters I got from Western Reformed Seminary in Tacoma, Washington, which is Bible Presbyterian Seminary, who were members of ARTS, the Association of Reformed Theological Seminaries. Dr. Battles, president of the institution, gave us a WASH letter and in the process wrote me another letter saying, you really ought to look into ARTS. Look into ARTS. I'd never heard of it, frankly. But his was one of the letters that I gave to the INS, and it was part of the acceptance. We ultimately got the INS stuff settled, and we got the VA stuff settled. But it was one of the letter from Western Reformed and then the recommendation of Dr. Battles that introduced me to the whole ARTS organization. It's a relatively new organization. I think it was formed in 1999, a group of evangelical and reformed conservative seminaries. It's in a private, and it's a private accrediting agency. Does not have the status and the prestige as tracts and some of the others would have, but I'm not looking for prestige. I'm basically looking for something to get the government off my back that will prove, without going through all of the rigmarole, that we are a bona fide institution. And so I looked into it, and the requirements seemed to be certainly within our means, within what we were seeking to accomplish. As far as the doctrinal standard is concerned, we held to the Westminster substandards, and all this fit within the creedal statements that they had organized, and the only pressure they have upon the institution from that perspective is that each institution remains faithful to its own stated creed and standards. And that's what we want to do anyway. All right, so fine. So I learned of this. We had a meeting with Dr. Pipa, who is at this time the chairman of the organization. Got some information. Mr. Brame and I had a meeting with him. And the bottom line, in November, 2 years ago, I went down to Atlanta with our application, with a introductory study as to who we are and why we wanted association. I was interviewed by the organization in Atlanta, and at that time, they gave us the right to become a candidate into the organization, which meant then there had to be a self-study and what have you. So for the last 2 years, that application to ARTS has required here a significant amount of work as we've put together this self-study. looking at the various departments and compartments and structuring and academics and organization of office and everything from finances right through to what we do in the classroom. And I must say it was good. It was revealing. And it forced me to put some things in place that we've been doing somewhat haphazardly, getting done, but forced us, and I think this was good in the process, to get our things, whole operation in a good working fashion, our house in order, as it were. And so there was much worthwhile things that came out of the self-study. It's a long process, and I say it was a great deal of work involved, but it was very beneficial from my own perspective, and I think it has done a lot to structure what we're doing here in a little tighter fashion. Then in January this last year, the visit by the delegation was set for the end of August, and that's what happened last Tuesday. You recall at the opening, been keeping this before you really over these last couple of years, to pray for progress. And I mentioned this on the opening night of the seminary, that this is one of the very urgent issues for prayer. And I again appreciate and give thanks to you for taking that and praying about it. Well, Tuesday came. Knowing that it was coming from January on, again, there were certain things that had to be in place directly for that visit, and there were folks here that helped remarkably and wonderfully to get things going. David Stair, as I mentioned, in transferring our financial records and being able to present them in a way to the financial auditors was a remarkable help to us. My wife was a big help, and Mrs. Simmons, as they got all the stuff ready to go for the presentation. And really, I could not have at all gotten through Tuesday without the help of those individuals. But Tuesday came, and it was, for me, a long day. And a grueling day, and it wasn't any easier when I saw Karen's walking around just with that little grin on his face, enjoying every moment of my pressure. But he did behave himself, I must say. He behaved himself, and I was, don't say it often, but I was proud of him. He did. He did well. I won't go through all of what was done on the day. They had already sent a man to look at our financial records. They spent most of the morning with me going over the self-study and making recommendations here and there, questions here and there, but it was a profitable time. And then they met with some of our current students. They met with the seminary committee, which represented by Tim and Dr. Cairns, and met with all the faculty that was here. And then Mr. Wagner was able to come up from Columbia that day, and Mr. Kimbrough came down. So we had a good representation, not only of the resident faculty, but one of the adjuncts as well. And they interviewed all the faculty and talked about various things, and then had a couple graduates. Pete was here. Joel Pankratz came down to represent our graduates. And I don't know all yet that has transpired from that. They will be making their recommendations to us. I know the particular issues that they addressed with me. Nothing really significant in terms of procedure. I read the handbook again before they came and said to myself, in this section I'm going to have trouble. I know I'm going to have trouble in this section, and when they came I had trouble in that section. And I knew that was coming. And a lot of the things really boils down to our small size and the very intimate relationship that we have directly with the presbytery and what have you. But I think all of that was understood. But the bottom line is that after all was said and done, after the last interviews, the men stayed in the room here and for some time, and I was just kind of hanging around. And finally they came and announced that they would be recommending us for full membership in the organization, and there will be some recommendations, a report that they will issue that will not only deal with the things that they talk with me about, but say I haven't got quite yet a straight answer from what they talked to Tim and Karen's about, so I don't know what will come up from that or the students. So we'll see. But at least the word that we've received is that we will be recommended now for full membership, which means then that in 5 years we'll do this all over again. All right, we'll do it all over again in 5 years. But it's an answer to prayer. All right, it's an answer to prayer. I say it's not as prestigious as other organizations. They are themselves now in the process of working with the education department, and that will have advantages ultimately. But the bottom line is it's serving, I trust, a purpose for us. And it was gratifying. I must say that it was gratifying to have outsiders come in and look at what we're doing and look at our academic program and the whole operation and conclude that, yeah, you guys are doing okay. That was personally gratifying to me, who constantly lives under that fear of failure.
Right.
And I thank the Lord for fulfilling his word. I confess that I am conscious of the dependence that I have upon the Lord in this whole operation. Still find myself, my comfort zone is in the classroom and no place else. But the Lord has given grace, and the Lord has given abilities that I didn't know that I had to do certain things. And the fact that I've been involved in so much of the politics with other institutions, that boggles my mind. I used to just look aghast at those who thought that was fun. But I must say, I enjoy some of the fellowship now with those outsiders, and it's been good, and I think for the institution as well. So I'm very conscious of the dependency that I have upon the Lord and the fulfillment of Proverbs 16:3, that rolling the work unto the Lord, and he will cause your plans to succeed. And the Lord has very wonderfully fulfilled that. So I thank you for the prayers that you have faithfully given, the support that you've given, the interest that you have in the students. There have been some requests for names of students to put to your prayer list. I think there's some of those in the library if you want to pick up a list. Do pray for us. And again, I don't take lightly the very special place that this congregation has in the whole ministry of the seminary. So do keep us in prayer. We have many things yet to do, and I have other plans. I have other plans that I would like to roll over to the Lord and see him once again fulfill them for his own glory. So continue to pray for us.